everyone. I want to thank you today for tuning in again, once again, to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. God is good, and he's doing good things in the earth toward his people. I thank the Lord for what he's doing. I thank the Lord that he loves us and he watches over us. When we could not know him, he still helped us out. I thank him for all the wonderful men and women of God that he calls to the ministry. And he blesses them to be a blessing to others, to raise the standards, to raise people's expectation. I thank him for all the miracles that he do through their hands and all the words and teachings of prophecy that he gives his people. God is still moving. And if you don't know he's moving somewhere. You got to find out where he's moving and make yourself go there, because God is doing good things among people that love him. If you see somebody with a good marriage, it's because they found the right person. They're a good person and they married a good person. And in order to do that, they had to not marry somebody that was worse. So it is with church. If you want to know God, you're going to have to go where there's a good church. Just like a man would have to marry a good woman and the woman would have to marry a good man, you got to go where there's a good church, a good pastor, and a good congregation. A guy asked me once, he said, do some churches have a good pastor and then some have just a good congregation? I said, yeah. That's true. Sometimes you got a church, the pastor's good, and the congregation don't love God. And sometimes you got a congregation that love God, but they ended up with a bad pastor. So you got to find where there's both. If you want to take your family to church, take them to a good one, because a bad church will make your children not want to go back. Now, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. I read a word that I wrote years ago called The Other Side of the World. This week, we're going to discuss it. In this word that I read, the Lord exposed that there are two sides of the world. Now, the world system is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's the world system that we know. And most time, people focus on what is obvious. They focus on anger, hatred, murder, greed, lust, things like that. And that's the world system. Going to wild parties, going to the club sometimes, people say that's the world, that's worldly. Drinking, drugs, alcohol, sometimes even cigarettes. And that stuff will get you dead. And none of those things are good for you. In excess, anyway. Especially drugs. Drugs is bad for you. It'll ruin your mind. Cigarettes will ruin your health. And wine will get into your will and make you do foolish things. And most people consider that to be worldly. But there's something worse than that, and that's called religious pride. When Jesus came and taught people, see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't do all these worldly things that's obvious. They taught error. When they got through with people, the people wouldn't even love God anymore. And that's worse than these other worldly pleasures. Worldly pleasures, they get in your habit system. It's a problem. It destroys your life in many ways. And everybody knows it. People understand it. But they call it fun and they do it anyway. But religious pride is much more dangerous. And the Lord said, this is the other side of the world. Now, when you look at the earth, you know, I'm not talking about the earth. I'm talking about the world system. But let's use the earth for an example. This is the example he gave me. Now, the Lord liked his people to be hot, on fire, charged to do his will, loving his will, just like David fought Goliath. Now, that's hot. David overheard that the giant was blaspheming God and speaking lies against Israel. And David, as zealous as he was, that offended him. And he decided he'd kill that giant. He was on fire for the Lord, because he was not going to let Satan's work prevail against God's work. He put his own life on the line and stopped the problem. Now, that's what God would call hot. Now, where the equator is, that's where you grow more food. The earth is more productive. The closer you get to the equator where it's hot, that's where the earth is more productive in like growing things. That's where you find more animals sometimes. Sometimes being hot can be miserable, but that's where you can grow food. Now, the North Pole, people don't want to live there because it's too cold to grow food. And it's so cold, it's dreadful. And it's bad. Just like people who love God know that the worldly things are bad. But the South Pole is colder than the North Pole and less habitable. And you'll die faster in the South Pole than you will in the North Pole, which you really won't live long without the proper attire and enough food. You know, there's no way you can just go get food because the water freezes and you have to drill the ice and it's going to freeze in no time. It's hard to eat there. The South Pole is much worse, much more treacherous. So the other side of the world is worse than the world you know. In other words, when preachers are not on God's side and they preach his word anyway, just like the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Lord gave us these examples. They hated the word of God. In the book of St. John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh." And that's Jesus Christ. The Pharisees always said that they loved God. And they had phylacteries on the end of their garments. And phylacteries are little cloths, pillows with scriptures inside. And they were dressed like they really loved God. But when the Word of God came, and Jesus was doing miracles, he was doing the handiwork of God, he had God's approval, he spoke God's word, and people were hungry for the word of God, they got jealous, they got envious, and they wanted to kill Jesus, the people who say they love God's word. It is no different now, folks. Don't kid yourself. There are many preachers who are not preachers. There are many that will tell you, that will teach you error. To get your money, so that they can have an easy life off of you. That's true. There are also many preachers who love you and they lay their life down for you. They pray for you. They care about you. They'll get you healed. They'll get you set free. They'll teach you God's word so that you can live a productive life, a thriving life. But Satan sent out preachers too. God called his people to preach and Satan called his people to preach. Satan will call a man to preach God's word. Satan will call a man to preach God's word, get in his pulpit and make a mess of things. Teach at the seminaries, teach error. If you believe in God for healing, because we've been talking about those hard questions. And one of them is, how about healing? In other words, does God heal now? Will he heal me? And the answer to that question is yes, he will. But that is an influence to get you to back off from believing God for your healing or somebody else's healing. And it comes from some pulpits. Because even good men of God get taught by bad ones sometimes. Because you've heard a parable that the enemy sowed tares among the wheat. The enemy wants to stop the progress of God's people, the progress of God's church. So he sends the wrong people to it. The church is infiltrated. But if you study the word of God, you will see the infiltration for what it is. What would motivate a man to teach error? It's the same thing that the Pharisees, the same problem they had is the same situation that ungodly preachers have today. The Lord will not do miracles through their hands because they are worldly. And remember, the other side of the world is worse than the obvious side of the world. And they love the world, but they hide in church and they do God, Satan's work. I've heard of preachers who do backslidden things. They sleep with the women. They steal the money. All that is happening. And to hide, they teach error. And they don't want the people that go to their church to hear what God is doing at other places. They would rather make money off you than help you. Now, I'm not accusing your pastor, because Satan will try to make things look wrong. And some people teach wrong because that's what they were taught by people that they trusted. Let me put it this way. False prophecy is bad, but time will show you whether it's false or true. Due time will show you whether the prophecy is true or false. False teaching is worse than false prophecy by a long shot. Because if you got somebody thinking wrong and seeing the word wrong and teaching and believing wrong, then God is limited in their life. The Lord has to show people what he can do through people who believe him, because he can't do it through people who don't believe him. So if he can get you to believe wrong, he can stop God's healing power in your life. He might be able to get you saved. Thank God most people get saved, but they don't believe God for their healing and other things that they need as well. Did you know that God has a financial system that works? So when we come to the Lord, we're used to the worldly financial system, debt, borrowing money, other worldly ways of getting money. But God's financial system is based on being a blessing to other people. Tithes and offerings is in the kingdom of heaven. What you sow, you'll reap. Working as unto the Lord and not stealing on your job by not doing your work. Work as unto him, tithe what you earn, ask God to bless what you earn. This is part of God's financial system. I'm just touching on that. There's so much more to it, but the word of God will teach you God's financial system, and Satan will fight you, will try to persuade you against it. But false prophets, they'll take the knowledge and twist it to their advantage. And God's people don't need to be deceived and waste their life fooling with old sorry false prophet. Don't take your children to a church where mischief is happening, where the word is not being preached, where there's compromise. Go somewhere where the people love God. Do this for your children. If you're an adult, you should know better, but your children don't. I took my children to a church where they see people get healed. When they don't feel good, they call me and want me to pray. They pray, or they come to church and get prayer. And God bless them. I love them. They get healed. If they didn't, I wouldn't be saying this. I don't have to lie for God. It is true. I've seen my children get healed. I've seen many people get healed. And I thank the Lord for all of them. In other words, God didn't stop moving just because some people stopped. Some people teach wrong. What happens when a person gets healed? When people get healed and people know it, then that causes people to get off the fence. When people have cancer and they're supposed to die, and in the next week or so they out walking around going back to work healing, the color comes back in their skin, everybody know that God did it. And some people will get angry because they don't want to believe God. They want God completely out of their thinking. They want God to be far off somewhere so they can love the world. But some people, they were looking for God, and they rejoice. It's just like when God raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But listen to this verse. St. John 12, verse 9 and 10. It says, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, They're talking about Jesus. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they said, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. He didn't say the thugs of the city. He said the chief priests. They should have been praising God for Lazarus' resurrection. But they wanted to kill Jesus and Lazarus because the people were being blessed. So in other words, if you get healed, when God heals you, everybody's not going to like it. The preachers that teach lies, they're not going to like it, except for the ones who really want to know God. And some of them will come out of the darkness that they wandered into. Some people were taught wrong. And when they see you get healed, they'll be inspired to start trusting God instead of the pastors that taught them. See, good people are trapped up in the teachings of false prophets, even though they may not be a false prophet, but they believe wrong teaching. And because they believe wrong teaching, they do the same thing that the false prophet do. They teach wrong instead of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is much better and much easier than yielding to Satan and his compromise. It's easier to follow God who loves you than to follow Satan who don't. It's easier to fight Satan than to fight God. If you're going to fight God, you're going to definitely lose. If you fight Satan, you can win. If you fight Satan and quit fighting Satan, he wins. If you fight Satan and stand on God's word, you win. Jesus already won the victory for us. But we have to stand on the word of God until we win and until we know we won. When he can't turn your heart, you won. When he can't put doubt in your mind, you won. When you take back what he stole, you won. Just like he won, just like Jesus won. But if you listen to lies, false prophet, false teachings, he wins. You can't have both. Either you're going to win or Satan's going to win. And if you want to win, you got to charge your heart with the word of God, just like a man charges his battery so his car will start. Sometimes you need a jump off. That's what I'm doing. I'm jumping you off so that you can leave. But the word of God, if you take time, your time and study the word of God, you charge your own heart and you'll live better. If you listen to the radio broadcast, I'm giving you a jump start. I'm alerting you to truth. It's up to you to go and study these things for yourself. This word, the other side of the world, because of time, I didn't read it this Sunday, but I mean this weekend, but we're going to look at it again. Because there are many things in that the Lord wants us to know. The Lord wants us to be in the know. He wants us to know him. There's no reason we shouldn't know him. Now, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. And he will continue to teach those who love him and are hungry after his ways. Till next time, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.